Assalamu alaikum. The following is a recording of the Qalam Institute webinar on the Isra wal Mi'raj, the miraculous night journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qalam is committed to provide podcasts, webinars, classes, and much, much more for the entire family for free. Find out how you can be part of our mission to enable as many people as possible to benefit from these resources at supportqalam.com.
Next up, inshallah, we have Sheikh Muntasir, who again will be continuing us along this journey. He'll be now talking about the ascension. So remember, the first part of this, in the words you hear often together, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the first part, al-Isra, was a journey from Mecca to Al-Aqsa, and now Mi'raj is the ascension or the rising to the heavens, which, inshallah, Sheikh Muntasir will get us started on that journey.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وبعد I hope and pray that everyone is doing well. MashaAllah, it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're able to listen to such esteemed scholars speak about this noble journey, the introduction to the journey, the encounter with the angels and the different anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa taslim. And the centrality of this episode in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not escape us. Thinking about al-Isra wal-Mi'raj is crucial for understanding the seerah because it's one of those pivotal moments that shifts the focus. Up until this point, they were in Mecca being persecuted. It seemed a bit, you know, gloomy. The future didn't seem so bright. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put on the shoulders of His beloved prophets alayhim as-salatu wa taslim a burden that they cannot capacitate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this engagement, gives the bashara and the glad tidings that things are going to get easier. You know, as they say, things are going to get more difficult before they get easy. It got difficult, but now the ending, the light in the end of the tunnel is visible. We've heard how the Prophet alayhi salatu wa taslim was leading the prayer. He met the Anbiya saw him, and a number of different occurrences happened. And now we move from the first leg of this journey, the Isra, which is referred to in the Quran, Subhanalladhi Asra bi Abdihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, glory be to that, to the one who took his beloved servant on the night journey. Now that's the Isra, the journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. The second part is not explicitly mentioned in the Quran, but it's well established in the Hadith, as well as an axiomatic tenet of our faith as Muslims, that the next step of this journey is the Mi'raj. Mi'raj, which means the ascension to the heavens. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with Jibreel as they are now ascending to the heavens. And the narration comes in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim that Jibreel alayhi salam is with the Prophet and hatta atayna sama ad-dunya, they reach the first heaven, right? There are seven layers, there are seven stations. They reach the first station and the announcement is made, the question is asked, man hadha? Who is knocking at the gates of heaven, the first sama ad-dunya? And Jibreel alayhi salam responds, it is I. Man ma'ak, who is with you? And Jibreel says, Muhammad. And then the question comes, وَقَدْ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ, that the risala, prophethood, has been conferred to him. Na'am, yes. Then the welcome, the introduction is made, مَرْحَبًا وَلَا نِعْمَ الْمَجِيءُ جَاءَ. Welcome, welcome. What a blessed arrival. What an anticipated meeting this will be. And now I want to pause here for a moment and the question is وَقَدْ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ, right? So it's saying that the risala has been sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prophethood has been sent to him. Now this is a question that how is it that the inhabitants of the heavens are unaware of such a magnificent occurrence? How is it that they don't know that this happened? So a number of commentators explain that وَقَدْ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ may be in the form of a question that he has received prophethood already. But one particular commentator, he explains that وَقَدْ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ is less of a question of, you know, like an inquisitive query, trying to figure out something. Rather, it's more of a statement. وَقَدْ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ, he already got his prophethood, subhanAllah. It's our turn to meet him right now. Right? Because this could be a question that, how is it that the inhabitants of the heavens are unaware? وَقَدْ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ, he already received the prophethood, subhanAllah. And now we're getting a chance to meet him. مَرْحَبًا مَرْحَبًا, come, come. وَلَنِعْمَ الْمَجِئْ جَاءَ, what an amazing, what a blessed meeting this will be. So the first gate is opened and the Prophet ﷺ says, فَأَتَيْتُ عَلَىٰ آدَمْ فَسَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ, I met Adam ﷺ, فَسَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ, and I greeted him, I gave him salam. مَرْحَبًا بِكْ مِنْ إِبْنٍ وَنَبِيٍّ, you know, welcome my son from my progeny, wa nabiyyin, and the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two interesting points here. The first is, we just heard from Sheikh Mikail that the Prophet alayhi salam already met the Anbiya because he led them in prayer. What's the wisdom in the Prophet alayhi salam meeting the Anbiya again after having met them already? And why does it seem like it's a, you know, random meeting, whereas they saw each other during the prayer? And the answer to this is, and we can take an analogy in our normal lives, that imagine you're invited to an event and you have all your relatives over there. You have all your friends, people you want to meet. But because of how hectic the situation, the rush, the excitement, you don't get private time with each person. You can give a general salam, you know, small talk, and just move on. You don't have time to get to establish that relationship. It's a meeting, there's so many things to do. But now the Prophet ﷺ is getting a chance to meet each Nabi who he's already heard of in person and have that private meeting with them. And the reason, the wisdom behind this meeting is to boost the morale of the Prophet ﷺ. And if he gets that private meeting, it does boost his morale. Up until this point, he's receiving revelation about each individual prophet's struggle. Now he's able to interact with them and meet them in person. And that really gives him that energy, that motivation to push forward and to go through the struggles that he's experiencing in the mission of prophethood. So he meets Adam alayhi salam and he's greeted with مَرْحَبًا بِكْ مِنْ إِبْنٍ وَنَبِيٍّ, welcome, welcome, you know, I'm glad to meet you. Then he goes to the second, As-Sama Al-Thaniya. He goes to the second gate of the heavens. And again, the question is asked, who's here, Jibreel, who's with you? And he says, with me is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, وَقَدْ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ, he received prophethood. Again, it's not so much of a question as it is a proclamation, a statement that he's already received prophethood and now we're getting a chance to meet him. And then he gets to the gate and they meet Isa alayhi salam and Yahya. Interestingly, Isa alayhi salam and Yahya are together. Obviously, they were related. So they were together. فَقَالَ مَرْحَبًا بِكْ مِنْ أَخٍ وَنَبِيٍّ, you know, glad tidings to you, oh my, our brother and the Prophet. And what's interesting is he met Isa alayhi salam in the heavens, and as we know, towards the ending of times, Isa alayhi salam is going to come back. So it's a really interesting concept of where he comes from the heavens to meet Isa alayhi salam, he comes from the earth to meet Isa alayhi salam in the heavens, and then a time will come where Isa alayhi salam descends from the heavens, coming back to earth to meet his ummah, to meet his people. Then he goes to the third heavens, very similar protocol, and he meets Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam greets him, you know, it's a very exciting meeting. He goes to the fourth heavens and he meets Idris alayhi salam. Very similar protocol, very similar back and forth. Now, when he comes to the fifth one, he meets Harun alayhi salam. Very similar again. You know, they get to the gate of the fifth heaven and the question is posed, who's here? Who's with you? He's received the prophethood and he meets Harun. مَرْحَبًا بِكْ مِنْ أَخٍ وَنَبِيٍّ. But when he gets to the sixth gate, now he meets Musa alayhi salam. And up until this point, the exchange between the prophets were relatively uniform. مَرْحَبًا مَرْحَبًا أَسْلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ Welcome. But when he gets to meet Musa alayhi salam, he's asked the same questions, but before Musa alayhi salam is, you know, about to part ways and the Prophet ﷺ is moving on to the next step, to the next gate, Musa ﷺ begins to weep. He begins to cry. And at that moment, he realizes something. He says, Subhanallah, Ya Rabbi, hadhil ghulam. You know, oh my Lord, you know, this young man, you know, he said it with this admiration, this young man, Subhanallah. Bu'itha ba'di, he comes after me. He receives prophethood after me. But يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أُمَّةِ مِنْ أَفْضَلْ مِمَّا يَدْخُلْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. That, first of all, his followers are better than my followers, and they're going to enter into Jannah before my followers. It's not jealousy, but it's this admiration that makes me weep, that subhanAllah, how blessed he is. And it also shows the perception, the farsightedness, the intuitive nature of Musa alayhi salam, that he's relating to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to our ummah. And we know later on when he has that conversation with him about the prayer, Musa alayhi salam was intimately aware of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was going to experience when he goes back to his people. And then from Musa alayhi salam, he meets, in the next gate, he meets Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was at the final gate of Jannah, As-Sama' As-Sabi'ah. Very similar protocol. Now, why was Ibrahim alayhi salam at the last gate? Why was he in the last heavens? It makes sense because the connection between the Prophet alayhi salam and Ibrahim is unlike the connection with any of the other Anbiya. And that is because when we talk about Abrahamic faiths, Ibrahim alayhi salam is at the heart, at the nexus of all of these faiths. They connect at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Apart from the fact that even in terms of lineage, they are connected as well. That, in summary, is the travel of the Prophet ﷺ through the different gates. There's so many lessons that we can derive from this, but two things in particular come to mind. First and foremost, the brotherhood, the camaraderie that was facilitated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understood that the Prophet ﷺ's mission is not something that's easy. And to boost his morale, not only does he reveal the incidents of the people of the past, لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ Allah says in the Quran, we tell you these stories so that we can fortify your resolve. But now he meets them in person, so that strength goes to, that boost in morale goes to another level. And the second thing that we learn from this as well is when the Prophet ﷺ met them, they were so excited to meet him. They understood his value. So it's our turn to understand our value for being among the followers of the Prophet ﷺ. If the Anbiya understood, Musa ﷺ was weeping because of it, we should also weep and we should also be glad about the blessing Allah has given us for being among the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to follow in the footsteps of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa taslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to maintain that standard and expectation that the Anbiya had of us as the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa, khususan ala sayyidi ar-rusuli wa khatami al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-azkiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. We gather tonight to discuss the amazing journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. This is a journey that only a person who believes in Allah and Rasulullah would ever enjoy listening to and would actually believe in. Belief in Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj is a sign of Iman, because there really isn't much about it that's logical. And that's why modernists and certain progressive types have always found the journey of Isra and Mi'raj to be comical and something that's laughable and nothing more than a feeble, something just pulled out from nowhere. But on the other hand, the likes of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu didn't see anything comical about it. When he heard that this was what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said happened, he had no question. And it was that unrelentless, unquestioning iman of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu that got him the title As-Siddiq, the one that was truthful, because he understood that his mind could be faulted and his senses can make mistakes, but what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said could never ever be wrong. During this journey of Isra and Mi'raj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did a lot of things that were just straight epic. So much. It's just every step of it just keeps getting better and better and better. There's so much that comes out of it. As I'm sitting here listening to Ustadha Fatima and Sheikh Mikael and Sheikh Muntasir, every session opens the heart up a little more and makes you want to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring him and honoring and honoring him and increasing his honor. But even though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on this journey where he is being honored, where he is the center, where everyone is asking about him, everyone wants to meet him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in uruj, he's ascending. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still is given a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A part of the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the trip of Isra and Mi'raj were certain scenes that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَمَّا دَخَلْتُ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا رَأَيْتُ لِجَارًا لَهُمْ مَشَافِرُ كَمَشَافِرِ الْإِبْلِ فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ قِطَعٌ مِّن نَارِ كَالْأَفْهَارِ يَقْفُذُونَهَا فِي أَفْوَاهِهِمْ فَتَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَدْبَارِهِمْ قُلْتُ مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ يَا جِبْرِيلُ قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ أَكَلَةُ أَمْوَالِ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا. This is an example. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with Jibreel alayhi salam and he sees a scene. There are these people in front of him who have these bloated lips. Mashafir refers to the lip of a camel, just as the shafa is referred to the lip of the human being. So mashafir, these bloated lips. And in their hands, fi aydihim qita'un min nar kal afhar. In their hands, they have a portion of fire, kal afhar, like coal. They have this coal in their hand. يَقْذِفُونَهَا فِي أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They are throwing those or stuffing those stones, those hot rocks into their mouth. فَتَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَدْبَارِهِمْ. And they exit there behind. He says that I asked, مَنْ هَؤُلَاء. Who are these people? I asked Jibreel, who are these people? قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ أَكَلَةُ أَمْوَالِ الْيَتَامَى. These are people who would eat the wealth of orphans unrightfully. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeing this. And then he's bringing this back, because not only is this journey one of honor for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this journey is also one of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bringing a lesson for us all, bringing something back for us, that if you want to go where I went, if you want to be in these high places, there are some things that you just can't do. Because people who do these things were punished, and I saw the punishments before my eyes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also saw a group of people who were being punished, and they had long nails made of copper, and they were just scraping the skin off their faces and their chest. قُلْتُ مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ يَا جِبْرِيلُ. Who are these people? Jibreel said, هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ لُحُومَ النَّاسِ وَيَقَعُونَ فِي أَعْرَاضِهِمْ. These are people who eat the flesh of people, meaning they backbite them. And they have no fear when it comes to engaging with the honor of people. They will rip and tear the honor of people apart in the form of backbiting and slandering. They don't think twice when they speak ill of another person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَرَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ لَحْمٌ سَمِينٌ طَيِّبٌ. I saw some people, in front of them, there was this meat, and it was very fatty, which is a sign of good meat, and طيب, pure good marbled meat. They had this in front of them. إِلَى جَنْبِهِ لَحْمٌ غَثٌ مُنْتِنٌ. And on the side, they had the meat of لَحْمٌ غَثٌ. غَثٌ is the meat of an animal that is very weak. An animal that's very weak before slaughter, you call it غَث. So لَحْمٌ غَثٌ, the meat of an animal that was very lean and weak, wasn't really stocked up properly before slaughter. مُنْتِنٌ, and there was a stench emitting from that meat. So these people had this beautiful meat in front of them, and on the side they had this spoiled meat, and it wasn't really of high quality. فَيَأْكُلُونَ مِنَ الْغَثِ الْمُنْتِنِ. They were eating from the meat on the side that wasn't the high quality. وَيَتْرُكُونَ السَّمِينَ الطَّيِّبَ. And they were leaving. They were not eating the meat that was in front of them. Naturally, Jibreel alayhi salam said, what's going on here? مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ يَا جِبْرِيلِ قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يَتْرُكُونَ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَيَذْهَبُونَ إِلَى مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْهُنْ. These are people who decided to fulfill their human sexual passion in places that were not halal. The halal was in front of them. It was available to them. Yet they still chose to engage in the haram. And this right here is what they did. You can see it just in their punishment, that they have what is halal in front of them. You know, when someone eats something that isn't tasty, and in front of them there's something very tasty, there's not only a pain of eating something that doesn't taste good, but there's a pain of being deprived of what's right there in front of you. But unfortunately, the human being has a tendency of being ungrateful, and we end up neglecting those beautiful members of our life who are right in front of us, who wake up every morning loving us, supporting us, caring for us, being honest with us, being loyal to us. And yet throughout the day, rather than being loyal back with them, we dishonor them, we betray them, and at times we break and crush them. Loyalty is a trait of the insan that makes the insan very beautiful. It makes the human being very beautiful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the afuf and purity. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw other scenes as well. Now, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw scenes regarding people being punished, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also saw some scenes from paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Bilal radiallahu anhu, oh Bilal, what do you do? I heard your footsteps in paradise. I mean, what action of yours is so beloved to Allah that Allah has accepted you and granted you Jannah? I heard your footsteps in paradise. And Bilal radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, after I do my wudu, I pray two rak'ah. This is what the muhadithun refer to as tahiyyatul wudu. That after you pray, after you do your wudu, you pray two rak'ah after that. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then describes to us a long description of paradise. I'm going to end here. And the take home from today's session is this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with this amazing journey. But during this journey, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also witnessed certain scenes. And these scenes were lessons, not necessarily for him, they were for us. Don't do evil. Don't harm other people. Don't consume interests. Don't steal other people's money. Don't steal the honor of other people. Don't commit zina and betray someone else that's being loyal to you. It's as if when you look at most of these sins that were being punished for that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw on that night of Isra and Mi'raj, they were to do with dhiya'u huquq al-ibad. They were to do with wasting the rights of other human beings. We should be mindful. We should be very mindful. There is no ascension if along the path you have left behind an ocean of bodies of people who you have broken on the way to your ascension. There's no real ascension then. Islam is about being considerate, being mindful, being loving, not violating the right of any person, and then being patient along the way, you'll get your ascension too. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with our individual personal mi'raj, where we spiritually ascend and we grow, and we feel proximity and closeness to Allah. And may He bless us with the gardens of paradise in the hereafter. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.